Simon, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Good morning.
So I suppose, first of all, how have so many of these scientific reports managed to be published despite their errors or inadequacies?
Well, I think we should look at the total number of scientific papers in the world published each year. When you comment then on the number that are actually retracted, it is a very small percentage of the total scientific output that's available for everyone to look at. So that's the first thing to put in place, really. It's true that across the last 25 years or so, if you add up all of the number of Australian publications, it comes into the 200 to 300s, but that would be again small compared to the many thousands that are published.
And so for the number that have been published, what are some of the consequences of those papers being put through?
Well, there's a problem with any scientific publication which is not true to form or totally accurate. The likelihood is that these retracted publications have been read by others, the ideas have been taken up by different laboratories, and they've influenced the thought of scientists and perhaps others. So that's where it goes off the rails, when there's an inappropriate interpretation of poor research.
And some of these papers that were picked up, they're not exactly super new. They've been published 20, 25 years ago. Could some of these simply be a case of looking back with modern eyes and realising that there are some inadequacies? Or do we think that they might have been published at the time knowing that it wasn't necessarily accurate?
That's a more complicated question. It's likely that some of the retracted papers are done so because there is a degree of more serious scientific misconduct involved. So that means there's been potentially some deliberate falsification or fabrication of data at the more serious end of the spectrum there. So that has greater consequences and it indicates a degree of deliberately bad behaviour at the time of conducting the work.
And so what kind of measures are in place in Australia at the moment to regulate scientific research?
Well, there's regulation at a number of levels. At the highest level, I guess, there's a code of conduct to which research institutions sign up to. There's also agreements that are made between scientific organisations and the major funding bodies. The major funding bodies are the National Health and Medical Research Council for Health and Medical Research and the Australian Research Council for other types of research. And they have specific requirements that need to be signed off on by those who are conducting the work. I'd emphasise that those organisations that I mentioned, they're spending taxpayers' dollars. So it's important that we get it as right as we can. But it's not a simple task.
Well, just before I let you go, Simon, I know there's been some calls for a watchdog to be appointed. What are your thoughts on moving forward with that idea?
Well, we have some forms of regulation. We have some forms of watchdog. But it's clear, I think, that they don't have enough teeth. And we're probably, as a country, not doing enough to minimise the probability of there being bad science being conducted. If we compare how Australia is comparing in the last two or three years compared to major European countries and even major Asian countries, Australia's capacity to put in place higher forms of regulation is less than in many other parts of the world. And that's a disappointment to me personally.
Simon, we really appreciate you speaking to us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.